Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Rock and roll started going downhill when they stopped having saxophone players. I'm talking about Bobby Keys, Clarence Clemons. I'm talking about the time when rock and roll used to stir positive emotions with big backing horns, dude. That's all gone now.
We are here in Rockville, Maryland, a place they warned you not to go back to.
Yep, but we did it anyway.
Yep, we did. So this is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And we are doing some live podcast recording here from Suburbs Fest 2022 in Maryland. And we're so happy to have you all here.
Yeah.
All right, we are at Seven Locks Brewery. We want to thank the people here at Seven Locks. We especially want to mention Kelly behind the bar there and treat her right. All right, everybody?
Kelly.
Yeah, give a round of applause to Kelly. All right. Many fine beers here, and thank you to Craig Rosen for supplying this one to me.
Yes, thank you, Craig.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, we've done this before at Suburbs Fests. We do 10-minute podcast recordings. People come up, and they can pick the topic of their choice, as long as it's related to music, let's say. We don't want to get into other things. I mean, we're barely qualified to talk about music, so I don't know. Other things.
That's right.
It could be a real issue for us. Let's see. So, and then we have the timer.
Yep.
We have the 10-minute timer to keep us honest. And then, Patrick, you want to mention what else we have here?
Yeah, we got feedback a little bit, and yeah. We also have giveaway. So I have a selection of items you can choose from when you come up. Jerome's going to get the pick of the litter, though, because he's got everything. He might go for the Red, White, and Crew CD, because we got that. And a variety of other things. I've got some Slade vinyl, and I have an old 45 of Led Zeppelin doing Misty Mountain Hop on the Atlantic label. So we've also got some Julie Ocean CDs here that I think we'll give away to anybody who wants one of those. If you come up, though, you got to come up and talk to us.
Yep. Let me set those there. So, all right. Okay, so Jerome, state your name.
My name is Jerome, for the record. Last name redacted.
Okay. With Frank Muffin, who is performing tonight.
Heck yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Again, Suburbs Fest, that's a good home base for us.
So last night we did the live Hootenanny, and I was so fortunate to get up there and sort of shout a song.
I think you shook it up there.
Yeah. So we did a little Eddie Money, Shakin'. And I was told afterward that you guys really enjoyed learning that song.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get a chance to like openly cheese shred in Frank Muffin very often, so it's
cheese shred.
Yeah, you know.
I got
off the grater.
Yep. I got it. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
It was brilliant.
Okay, so I'm going to set the timer, and what is our topic going to be today, Jerome?
We're going to talk about the musical collective surrounding Wolfpack.
Oh, okay.
If that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool.
Sure.
Let's do that. All right. So I have recently been trying to dig into some different types of music than I play. And I've always had an affinity for like funk jam stuff. And are you guys familiar with Wolfpack?
I would say on a surface kind of level.
Surface level.
Yeah. Same here.
So like, you know, it's a group of core guys. And then they really add a lot of really phenomenal studio folks that are doing a lot of great work instrumentally around. And one of their guitar players that's been in their mix is a guy named Corey Wong. So Corey and the Wong Notes have a fantastic show on YouTube. And it's blowing my mind. It's only getting like 200,000 views. They have a classic like Cab Calloway like tiered band setup.
Wow.
Vic Wooten was just on there. You know, Niles Rogers has been on there. Where is funk today? That's my question. What are you guys listening to that's kind of in the... Do you guys listen to anything in that zone?
Probably the only stuff that I would listen to is like older African music that might stray into that zone.
Sure.
But yeah, like nothing really new, I don't think.
Well, in terms of funk, I mean, probably the two things I would listen to the most current would be either like current African music like Emi Mokhtar,
right.
You know,
sure.
Which gets into some of that. But then I would say some of the stuff on Daptone.
Ah, it's a good point.
Definitely gets into the funk area, right? So, you know, I think Budos Band, for example, is like really captures that sort of 70s soul funk kind of stuff. Yeah.
I think it's so funny that I'm seeing so many like funk and disco production things worming their way back into pop music. And I think it's just because the undeniable element of groove. I think like funk, that's like the core of funk is a groove. I think a lot of other things find their way to it, but I think like funk, you got to start there. That's like the bedrock. Like Dua Lipa has like very nearly disco funk bass, you know, drum lines going on right now. And I love that, man. I think it's, you know, seeing that there is a love for that among people gives me hope that like brass sections and, you know, tight, dry drums are going to stay around forever.
And I think it was a Bud Bird who was talking not too long about the disappearance of the saxophone, right, in music as well. So some of it kind of speaks to that, too.
Holy cow. Yeah, I actually I run sound for a small venue, and all of my in-between music is almost all great jam stuff, like Snarky Puppy, great, another, you know, jazz funk fusion collective thing out there. But like, I love finding dance tracks that have great sax solos too. Yeah. It's like, it blows people's minds when you see that stuff coming out and like, why? Sax used to be one of the most ubiquitous instruments, especially lead instruments out there.
At the very beginnings of rock and roll, there was a lot of saxophone based music. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's M83's Midnight City. I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
You know,
that's beautiful.
Phenomenal. Great sax solo. Right. And like, there's almost like, you know, it's like a digital sax sample at the beginning. And at the end, some just live brassy guy comes out and rips it up. And it's like, that's clearly appealing. Huge commercial song. Like, where are the more sax solos? In fact, just recently, rest in peace, Coolio. We just went and saw Coolio this last weekend at Riot Fest.
Wow, did you?
Really?
Yeah, so I just saw Coolio a week and a half ago, and now he's gone, unfortunately. Yeah. The first 10 minutes of his set was an actual live band playing, kind of like soul, gospel, hip-hop kind of stuff. Coolio's hype man that did like the first couple bars then bust out an alto sax and Coolio's hype man ripped up an alto sax in all of their songs. And it's like, where is this on the albums? Yeah. Like, why don't more people have their hype man with a sax? Like, I think it's making a comeback.
I love it. We need today's Bobby Keys
somewhere,
right?
Ooh, where is he?
Yeah. The best saxophone player I know is standing right over there.
Yeah.
Echo Park Jimmy.
Is that right?
Amazing, man.
Play some sax.
He tore up that sax in Jazz Band where we wore the ruffled light blue tuxedo shirts and the black vests. Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Jerry had his ruffled shirt. You had yours.
Back to Wolfpack. Where would you suggest starting for the novice?
Where I would start with the novice, I would almost go. They have their entire Madison Square Garden set up on YouTube.
Wow.
And you know, the thing that blows my mind about that is that they brokered three nights at MSG, no management.
Wow.
It's a direct deal between their band and the management there. And, you know, between that, they have a great song, 1612, that is them improvising lyrics. Their original version of Dean Town that you can find on YouTube has the most unique drum setup you can find.
Patrick is taking notes, by the way.
That's right. I am. Sure.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yes.
You know, Corey Wong, their song Corey Wong is their introduction to them. Him kind of taking a forefront with their songwriting. We'll be right back. know, almost all their stuff is under 4 minutes for the most part, unless you get like a full set or an extended jam. Very digestible. You know, you're not going to be cranking on the meaning of the lyrics of these songs. You are going to be focusing on hearing a whole bunch of really phenomenal people have fun together. And that's kind of what I get from it. And
right.
That funk attitude comes in.
I love that. I think there's something with funk and fun that kind of goes together in some ways, too.
Yeah. They both have a certain FU.
Yes.
That's right. Sorry, that was not a real joke. I don't know what that means. Wordplay for the sake of wordplay is not the best. I would definitely suggest they have a side project called the Fearless Flyers.
Okay.
That heavily features the drummer Nate Smith.
Okay.
Oh, man. That guy is driving the boat wherever he is. There's a great clip of him dropping a stick at a club venue. And another player picks it up and is going to hand it to him. He's like, no, I got it. And proceeds to play like an amazing little improvised solo one stick. It's like, that's the kind of, you can't buy that, you know?
So how do you relate the funk to the music that you do? Like how does that influence you as a musician?
I started in a jazz band in high school too. So I kind of had a little bit of an exposure to some fusion types of music mm-hmm. as a younger person. The thing I'm trying to pick up most from funk now is to not play all the time. If you listen to funk guitar players, they're really good with accents. They're playing a lot of higher necks, really just kind of light upstroking stuff. I'm trying to get in that. And you guys heard a little bit of abysmal drumming last night, but I'm a very pocket drummer too when I drum, and I do a little bit of recording of covers and stuff on my own, and keeping in the finding the grooviest pocket you can without a lot of flash is another goal. So
So I have two things on this. One is, I love what you're saying about learning that sort of restraint that comes with funk music, because James Brown, master of that, right?
Yeah.
Most of those records, there's, to be super nerdy, it's the negative space is as important as the sound, right?
Thousands.
It's unbelievable. But talking about drumming, getting that groove in the pocket, everything. You're in the D.C. area, home of Go-Go.
Go-Go.
Yep. Right? Do you know much about Go-Go music?
And just a
that's
little
what
bit.
That's what it's all about, just down that groove and then just playing over that, right? It's amazing, especially when you get these 14-piece bands up there on stage
to
play.
It's true.
It's unbelievable.
I love the funk drumming. I love the flash, especially in the kind of Go-Go stuff, is that you aren't doing a lot of big cymbal tom work for your flash. You're adding in these little clutching your hi-hat and a little extra ghost notes and stuff. Oh my god, the creativity with adding syncopation and adds of polyrhythmic stuff with that. It's that is true genius of technicality that doesn't require a 16-piece kit.
Right.
And as much as I love a Neil Peart or a Roger Taylor, massive tom, rototom setup, being able to Nate Smith it and play hi-hat, snare, bass drum and play on the rim and the snare and have a full sound is where I put that in my blood.
Yeah.
In my veins.
And I'll just tell you a really quick story. When we were talking about Go-Go, I related this to Patrick a little while back, how, you come to Washington DC and everybody's go. And I was I'm not familiar with it because it didn't really get exported much to the rest of the country so much, but I'm okay, so it's funk music. Yeah. But then the key was going to Wizards games. Washington Wizards games. Oh, time's up. Can I finish this? Okay.
Yeah.
So going to Washington Wizards game and those guys playing the buckets on the streets or whatever. And I was I get it. It's the sound of the city. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It
echoes off the buildings
beautiful.
And everything. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. All right. Your time is up, Jerome.
Hey, thanks.
But that was great. Great
stuff. And by the way, I got to go Misty Mountain Hop because Lord of the Rings.
Oh, there you go. All right. Misty Mountain Hop.
No, hang on. One more thing. So usually when we do these podcasts, we have a thing called the bag of questions, which where we pull a random question out of a bag, and it's sort of expertly decorated and gives you the full visual effect of the bag of questions and pull a random question out and all of that. And I forgot the bag of questions. The bag of questions is sitting at home
very Patrick
on my
thing
coffee
to do.
Table. But my wife was so nice, and this was a suggestion EPJ had. It was so nice that she sent photos of the questions. She texted
beautiful.
Me photos of the questions. So I'm just going to, let's see. So, it's, to make it random, just pick a number. I don't know. Just pick a number between 1 and 20, and I'll give you a random question. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, your question is, can you whistle? There we go. Beautifully done. All right, so Jerome was great. And now we have a finish. So, yep. And then, so now you guys see how this works, right? Everybody's got it? Okay, so we'll have somebody up next. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.